October 2020. My name is Anya and I am interviewing Linda. We're both interviewing at home through a site called Squadcast. We are taking part in Women in Action, Stories of Hope, Resilience and Resistance, a Merseyside-focused art and heritage project led by Collective Encounters in partnership with the National Museums Liverpool and funded by National Lottery Heritage Fund. The project is gathering women's memories of resilience, activism and community organisation in Merseyside in the late 20th and early 21st century.
The Ballad of 18 Women.
Understand it. They're all saying, and the gay lad be doing, they're all saying, well, it's always been done that way. And I said, well, just because it's always been done that way doesn't mean to say it's right.
Hello.
And welcome to our play.
We hope you will be inspired.
A radio ballad's what we'll share, a glimpse of women's lives.
The women bound by nothing but the city they call home.
Each fascinating, full of hope. But randomly were chose.
Each woman weaves her unique thread, a tapestry of change.
A net that holds the city safe.
Can move a mountain range.
Each woman treads her unique path.
Sometimes it seems alone.
But there is friendship in this work.
Togetherness in hope.
So stay a while. And bask in hope
of matriarchal rule.
The 18 Women of Action.
The Pride of Liverpool. Ba 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 da ba. 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 Ba 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 da ba.
Tell 18 women like so many others.
18 women
from a rich well.
18 women taking their place in the world. United in the sisterhood. Ah, united change the world for good. Thanks to women for taking a stand. Let's cheer for those who give all they can. Hats off to them. Helping to change our world. Thanks to women for all that they do. Let's cheer for all the time stands true. Hats off to them, fighting to change our world.
You're shining.
We will join you
in our own way.
We stand with you, taking our place in the world. United in the sisterhood. Ah, united, change the world for good. Thanks to women for taking a stand. Let's cheer for those who give all they can. Hats off to them, happy to change our world. To women for all that they do, let's cheer for all the talents and true. Hats off to them, fighting to change our world.
Act one. In the beginning.
Well, I'm a one parent family. During the 80s, there was a really bad explosion of heroin on Liverpool.
Heroin sweeps through Liverpool as the city reaches new heights of addiction in a shocking national epidemic.
And unfortunately, my son got involved with that when he was only 16. So there was a lot of problems for me, and there was no help or support. course, anywhere to be found in Liverpool. I, at some point, looked around for help and went to a support group, but it was quite a distance from where I lived. So when my son did get through, you know, the hard course of his addiction, I decided I wanted to give something back. So I formed Sanctuary Family Support with three other parents.
I mean, it was the mid-60s. And there was all sorts of stuff going on about black rights in America, about the rights of Catholics in the north of Ireland, about Vietnam War, things like that. So there are lots of things that would make you think.
I decided then that I wanted to set Sanctuary up in the south end of Liverpool because that's where there was no support for black people in that area.
If you don't fight for these things, you don't get.
So going back to those first years when I set Sanctuary up, I had to do all the work myself. It was hard work, it really was, but look where it's got us now. It was worthwhile. I've got two family support workers now. I've got a counsellor and I've got an admin worker. I'm a qualified counsellor myself, by the way.
I've got a lot of interest for world politics. Anti-racism, justice and equality. I'm also very concerned about climate change. And so from an early age, I was aware of all those issues and trying to do my bits in the world to try to make it a better place.
I have more questions than answers.
I want to learn more about this and I want to talk about this and change it.
I went there to get some counselling and they ended up staying there volunteering.
Ba, 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 da, ba. Ba, ba.
Becoming a parent, I think, was a massive step for me towards engaging more with feminism and diversity, intersectionality and stuff.
I always got told I asked too many questions.
From quite an early age, really, I think I had an awareness that there was this thing called feminism and that we kind of need it.
I was involved in like some activism, like maybe a bit of environmental activism or, you know, like anti-war things. And I think I had this like drive in me to make things a bit different or just like a bit better for people.
I met up with some other people. They had a Labour Party building. So I used to go over there just to the meetings that were going on. They only lasted about an hour. Then I was roped in again. So with the pram and the baby, I found myself posting leaflets through the door, all handwritten.
When I was working there for Oxfam, I became more, as I say, more socially aware and became more aware of the way that some people live in the world and that there are people who are trying to improve those situations.
So maybe in a way, that's where we start with my work with the community. So we have been starting doing volunteer work helping the community.
I think that's kind of a big part of it, is leading to a community of people that are interested in making and fixing and maintaining, coming together and sharing their own knowledge as well with others.
Any place you'd find a group of women, we tried to put ourselves. We did our best. We did every way we could think of to actually open up a dialogue with women. You know what? And it was always, what did you think you would be when you were a child? What was your ambition?
I left school with not many qualifications because my biological mum had died when I was 14, which kind of messed up my GCSEs. So I then went to work for the council as like a part-time, what you call a nursery assistant. But being the clever person I am, I got some qualifications, climbed the little ladder in the council and became a nursery nurse, and then I became a family support worker, and then I became a family link worker. I'd always wanted to be a police officer, but I didn't really see myself in the police because you don't really see many black police officers. But while I was doing work as a family link worker, I came across a few black police officers who I worked with, and they kind of inspired me to join the police force.
But I just decided, there was an election on, and they said at the bottom of one of the leaflets, come and knock on this door if you want to help. So I went and knocked on that door.
18 women, stories to tell. 18 women, like so many others. 18 women, from a rich well. 18 women, taking their place in the world. United in the sisterhood. Oh, united, change the world for good. Thanks to
last year during the pandemic.
Since the start of the COVID pandemic, there has been a 300% increase in hate crimes against the UK's East and Southeast Asian communities.
I think it's because from January onward, not January 2020, when this sign of the coronavirus started, these Chinese people were targeted.
Yeah, the police is quite one of the, the holy grails of structural racism. So while I worked in the council, I had quite a lovely experience, felt quite embraced as a black person. So I'd unlearned a lot of the behaviours that I learned as a child. So I was quite confident as a black person when I walked into the police. But quite quickly I realised that was not something that was accepted in the police. You had to act in a certain way. It was quite clear that the police still had a lot of overt and covert racism, and they didn't really want to be challenged on it. But being quite young, I was like, oh, maybe they don't know. I'll tell them about it.
Standing up for what you thought was right and standing up for ordinary people was automatic.
By February, we were getting young children from the orchestra was telling us they'd been spat at, they're calling names in school, as young as from 6, 7, some of them don't even know what's happening.
So I told them about their racism, and while they made a lot of noise, and some people who possibly had the right intentions tried to do something, a lot of people protected those who were sort of identified as being racist, and nothing was done, and I became sort of a pariah within the police force. I think quite a lot of people think I left the police in in this awful place where I was, under a shroud of blinking sort of conspiracy and awfulness, but I left the police actually in quite a good place.
I can't help it, that's the way I'm made. I'm always there to help somebody. I don't like to see people getting through stuff really. I don't like that.
If I see somebody who needs help, I'll help them. Whether I know them or I don't know them, so.
The time when I knew for certain that I'd made the right decision was when I seen the murder of George Floyd at the hands of a police officer.
Yeah, so that's how I become. I didn't ask for it. I didn't want to be an activist.
By fury fueled, or pain or love.
Their starting point diverse.
They fight against injustice, and in action they converge.
Are you yourself reflected here?
Are there familiar themes?
Are you in fact an activist?
Waiting in the wings.
Act
2.
The action.
Women, join us.
Women, join us.
Raise your voices.
Raise your voices.
Help make a fairer world.
Help make a fairer world.
We can together.
We can together.
We were marching against the poll tax. It was a lovely day.
A peaceful anti-poll tax demonstration erupted in violent clashes between police and some 70,000 protesters, leading to what the authorities call the most serious riots London had seen in over a century.
We went on coaches. It was a lovely day. There was children, mothers, fathers, children, and it was all nice. It was really good. Good day. We were all happy, marching, singing. But as we were going through, we noticed in the sides and everything, the police and on the mounted police.
So after George Floyd, I was shielding a home. So the collective trauma that the Black community felt, an example of how it manifested for me was that I couldn't eat or sleep. And I was just reliving my own trauma within the police.
We're all behaving and everything. But I think they just wanted to, they just wanted trouble, because all of a sudden the marshals, Kitty Marshall, came and said,
get back to the bridge. Get back. Get back to the coaches. There's trouble. Get back quick.
And so we all had to go. And oh, it was terrible. It was chaos. We were fighting and everything. And we were in the coach. It was terrible. But it was the police, the government or someone that caused it all. Because everyone was having a lovely time.
And I was also projecting what could happen to my children, because I have two beautiful Black boys who could very much come into contact with a police officer who decides not to judge them based on who they are or how lawful they're being, but the fact that they're Black, and they probably might commit an offence and could kill them just because they fancy it.
And I suppose I became more aware politically as well as socially. And I joined the Labour Party in 1980 something, 1981, I think it was, and been a member ever since.
So I felt quite powerless and angry and upset and frustrated and terrified and fearful and every horrible emotion. And quite often when you feel in a place of disempowerment and when you feel that you are fearful, you fight back in any way that you can.
Well, the first proper action was I'm a member of the Labour Party, So I was in the women's section. There was plenty of action there.
So I used the resources I had at home and I set up a social media platform to sort of educate people of BLM. My posts were quite popular and quite a lot of people were copying and pasting and using the stuff that I'd written to help basically provide a counter narrative to the racism that is spewed online so often.
With thousands of chapters worldwide, Black Lives Matter is a global movement to dismantle racism and has a strong, active Merseyside chapter.
So I've been on demonstrations, marches against nuclear weapons, marching for CND and against apartheid, marching for the anti-apartheid movement, picketed the South African embassy in London, and been on quite a few, campaign against the arms trade as well, marches that I've been on.
You see, people were starving in the miners' strike. They couldn't get any money. And so I was collecting for, to get this kind of help when a woman came up to me and spat in my face.
In 2001, just 2 months before to move to Liverpool, I took part into a global protest in Genoa in Italy against the G8. And all the decisions that were made on the world scene, that was quite almost a traumatic event, really, because there was a lot of police violence, a lot of tear gas. It was the first time I found myself in such a situation. And one of the protesters got killed at the time.
But once the lockdown restrictions were easing off, we did several protests and we've been up and down the country. And we've basically just been flying the flag of anti-racism ever since. I was like the organising secretary of the Labour Party. So I helped organise elections, I helped organise canvassing, I helped organise getting the leaflets out. And then I was councillor for Speak.
Police 89, we decided that we should try to get more women on. So we wanted more women to stand. So I was talked into standing. So I thought, okay, I probably won't be picked anyway.
I worry a lot with commercialism and the mainstream media and how subtle and toxic these gender messages we're all getting all the time are on what's possible for each of us as individuals and collectively.
The Liverpool Dockers dispute, one of the first campaigns to use the internet to spread the word, has now seen 2 years of action.
The dock company locked the gates and then sent men on motorbikes round with their P45s and dismissal notices. They sacked every one of them, the whole workforce. So there was a meeting and they were going to have a rally in town, and I'd been ringing the radio. It was, people were saying stuff on the Roger Phillips show, and I'd ring and, put them right on stuff that was happening and, what was going on in the docks and all this sort of thing. So went down to St George's Hall on the Saturday to the rally.
So I set off to recruit more people in the union and recruit more women in particular to become union reps, because when I became a union rep, I was the only woman on the branch committee.
And Kevin said,
We're talking about forming a women's group.
So that, you know, struck fear in your heart because you thought a women's group, like the women have never been involved in disputes on the docks.
2011, when the budget cuts go further, or I think Liverpool, in lots of cities, the youth service disappeared. But Liverpool tried really hard to keep the youth service going. All the staff in the Pagoda Community Centre were redundant, even the cleaners.
So we became the Women of the Waterfront, which was abbreviated to WOW. So everyone called us the WOWs.
So we talked to the council and said, can the Pagoda Art continue using the centre? And we volunteer to managing all the social welfare part side, like the community side, in order for us to stay in the centre.
We have such a mixed load of people coming to Sanctuary. We have a lot of family members who are suffering, like I did many years ago. I think we are the only service in Liverpool that deals with family support for substance misuse. Other agencies did have it, but the funding stopped.
The women used to meet every Wednesday night and the children would be there. So that we had to politicise our children so they understood everything that was happening and going on. Meanwhile, people were, they had no income. They were living off their savings. So we did a little course, a welfare rights course, because some things you could go to prison for then, you know, if you didn't pay your rates, that was prisonable. So, you know, all this sort of thing. And where to apply, how to apply, help people fill in forms.
Until, like, still now, we're still doing it voluntarily. We don't get any funding on that side of work. But we just felt we want to continue to provide this service for the community.
While all this is going on, women are on the picket lines every day. They're still doing delegations. So you, all of this you're dealing with, as well as the normality of life, all the things that are going on in your own life.
And myself, I got, I done a lot of volunteer work for a housing association called Home Group. And they trained me in scrutiny and I trained me as an assessor. So I assess all over the country, all different kinds of services, from mental health, domestic violence, post-traumatic stress.
I've been involved in Liverpool Cares. I do quite a few voluntary work. I do voluntary work for the blind in Bradbury Fields. And I do voluntary work in St George's Hall, the Town Hall, Liverpool Town Hall, and Liverpool Cruise Terminal.
I'm also on the board of a family support group with people with alcohol or drug issues. And I went there to get some counselling and they ended up staying there, volunteering there. And everywhere they go, I was always offered the job. Why don't you come and stay here?
Women, join us.
Women, join us.
Raise your voices.
Raise your voices.
Help make a fairer world.
Help make a fairer world.
We can together.
We can together.
Chair.
We became involved with Friends of the Earth, Greenpeace, the anarchists, Reclaim the Street. The rallies were unbelievable.
Women's health. What we and they were wanting to do was to open up the discussion about women's health.
I've been a vegetarian for a long time, and I'm very involved in, very concerned about animal welfare and about the food we eat.
I follow quite a lot of feminist activists on Instagram.
Every Tuesday with a group of women who were raising the grandchildren because their mum and dad's dead of drugs or drink, or they're doing long-term sentences. So the ladies, we helped them get the benefits.
But also with the Rotunda, we worked with Liverpool Community College and the Adult Learning Service and the WA, all of them put money into the Rotunda, which meant we could provide what we called free, flexible and accessible education.
I was chair of the Communities Against Poverty, and we went to, worked with the MPs, met with them in London.
We were going to London every year with our grandchildren with us. We were in Parliament. We sat them down on the floor. We argued with the politicians.
And I got caught up again with marches and going places. We used to do in the Labour Party a lot of by-elections.
Yeah, in autumn of 2011, there was a movement that started called Occupy New York. And I was amazed, you know, they'd occupied Zuccotti Park in Manhattan. And it was against really the bankers and, you know, the way that there was all the bailouts of banks, you know, it's when there was the global crash. And people, they were just sick of the system, really.
More than 2,300 camps have been established in cities around the world as the Occupy movement spreads. Its message simple: inequality is wrong, capitalism has failed us.
I remember I wrote in the social centre in Liverpool, next to nowhere, I remember writing out slips of paper, check out Occupy New York on Twitter, on Facebook. And I was like, giving them out to people because nothing was really happening here. And then the Wellington Monument by St George's Hall, it's been occupied. There's all tents there. So I went straight there and it was amazing.
Let's pause a moment. Time for thought.
Imagine how we'd live if women led the government.
And humane laws exist.
With women such as these in charge, equality would thrive.
Integrity, commitment, and hard work would be their guide.
The power in these women's acts.
Their awe-inspiring ways.
Don't underestimate them now.
What could stand in their way?
Act 3.
Resilience.
Gate clang shut to keep us trapped.
We won't be trampled down.
Don't fence us in or lock us out.
We won't be tied and bound.
We'll face the barriers you erect.
Our heads held high and strong.
Resilient through each painful blow.
We will see justice done.
So I grew up in Halewood, which is on the outskirts of Merseyside in Knowsley. And I grew up in a foster home with my foster siblings and my foster mum. And yeah, Halewood's like a working class area. It's made some really good friends in Halewood, but it's not the best place to grow up when you're black, because it's an area which is about 99% white. So it's quite tough growing up in an area like Halewood, and you have to learn resilience quite quickly.
My story is, I grew up, I was in and out of care a small bit, and then grew up in a separated family, and then a stepfather, and then other children. And then I was chased out of home, really, when I was 15.
Primary school was, there's a lot of kinds of subtle and covert racism. Even from walking to school, I was subject to overt racism, being called the N-word from some kids who decided to make me life hell quite early on. So, and then picking friends and having people maybe cover their hands up so they didn't have to hold your hands, as if your black skin was a bit of a contaminant. So that was always tough.
It ended up with a good job, and I ended up having a child when I was 19, a son. I was married, got married, and bought a house at 19, got a mortgage and all that. And then that never really worked. I think I only got married because I felt I ought to, because, because of the times you really got married when you got pregnant.
So I'd do things like, my birth name, I changed my birth name, which was a very kind of racially charged name that you wouldn't be used to hearing in England or in Liverpool. And so I changed it to my nan's name, which was an Irish name, Kerrigan. And I straightened my hair at quite a young age, not with hair straighteners, but with chemicals called relaxing.
And then I met someone else a couple of years later. He ended up beating me and controlling me, really, for 10 years. And I couldn't see my way out of it. And he was good to the children, but the minute they weren't there, I had a lot of violence issues and control issues.
So I'd learn new racist words from other people because I didn't know all the racist words. All the white kids taught me racist words. But that never, ever leaves you as a black person. No matter who calls you that word, that will take you back to that first time that you ever heard that word, because it hurts you on like a cellular level.
So yes, so I was picked to stand. My husband didn't want me, he was going mad, no. My brother, who lived nearby, no. They were saying,
oh no. No, you don't want to be doing that.
And that, my husband said,
oh no.
Okay, this, that and the other. And then they were saying,
it's only, you'll be embarrassed.
They were very much under the thumb, if you like, of men. And men said, if it was your husband.
Do this and do that.
All the time I kept thinking, why are women treated like this? And somehow, I couldn't get my head round it, you know.
I think as a woman, it's especially difficult. Trade union movement is still dominated by men and often older men.
Hey, Gail.
So that was the thing at the time, you know, women.
Why should women be doing that? They shouldn't be doing that.
You know.
I still go to meetings today where the men sit in the front and hold forth. Your hand could be waving forever. I stand up and say, will somebody please listen to me?
And we ended up fighting with the Labour Party as well then. And they got rid of they stopped us because...
You were too mouthy.
They stopped the women's section.
We were openly competing with each other for the crumbs. I do feel people in community organisations are set against each other when it comes to funding, rather than trying to pull people together.
So you meet these people and they tell you their stories, and because of your own suffering, you take it on board. You become, your empathy is heightened. So you take on their suffering as well as your own. And it's emotionally, it's draining. But you can't help it, it happens. You can't protect yourself. You're laid bare.
I think also like this, years of austerity and desperation and seeing so many people suffering, you know, sometimes it just breaks your heart. And I was really struggling, and I just thought, you know, what am I going to do in this?
Well, no, because it was disheartened. We were all disheartened. It was terrible. So anyway, I worked hard. In the cold, freezing, in the rain, and then when the weather started getting nice, in the sunburns and hot, but yeah, it's so feast and everything, and it was May 1990 by then, and I was elected councillor for Tubrew. I don't believe it.
I think the greatest achievement that I've got out of any of this activism is the female friendships that I've made, and just kind of building a world around women and non-binary people and queer people that's like, we're working towards like safer spaces for ourselves, not just safer spaces, like, but more happier spaces, like more productive spaces, like more creative spaces.
And I won a couple of awards for you know, like at the end of the Oscars and they have the Lifetime Awards, special awards. I've won one of them.
So my mum was very about building us up and building our self-confidence and self-esteem. And so that's why a lot of times throughout my life I've been able to keep my head up high, because it's always my mum's voice, just keep your head up high and keep your dignity. Even if they don't show you dignity, you show them yours.
Well, when I was on the council in the 1980s, like, we built 6,000 houses, we demolished 6,000 slums, and we renovated about another 6,000 houses. So we built the big Everton Park, put all the sports centres around the place, put the big athletics track in that's produced loads of Olympic athletes from Liverpool. So that I consider a and people fought for it, and they saw that what they fought for, they got.
What I've achieved, I'm very proud of what I've done over the years, like doing volunteering, and, you know, I got the Volunteer of the Year 2015, and I'm very proud of that.
Yeah, I made a film to save the Flatiron green space, which is at Park Lane. That was with Extinction Rebellion. We put a tightrope there, so we had tightrope walkers. We had a banner-making table, people making placards. We had the most gorgeous food I've ever seen in a buffet on a table there. Absolutely amazing food. And we had an eco clothes swap, so people brought clothes along. We had a Bluetooth speaker, so we had music, and we had live music, people with guitars.
We started the Women's Health Information and Support Centre, which was shortened to WHISC. And I'm so happy that WHISC is still around. It's still in Bold Street, still alive and kicking all these years later.
Along the way, I met some wonderful people and ended up in so many different places. And yeah, it's, loads of battles, but.
But I know that I've survived for a reason, perhaps to tell my story, to pass on to someone else, to stop them possibly committing suicide because they can't cope anymore.
You had to be there year after year after year. You couldn't just have one of these projects which came and went. It had to keep going so that when people were ready or needed education, that we were there.
Do you know what? People come in there really unhappy. They go out laughing, they go out smiling, they go out a different person.
And looking back, and you think to yourself, I've stood there and made a speech in exactly the same space, place, where Tom Mann stood in the 1911 transport strike. And he spoke from St George's Hall, and here, all those years on, were the Dockers speaking from the same spot, making similar points.
Vast oceans of experience,
of thought resilience.
Now words of wisdom will be shared
to boost your brilliance.
Do take some time to think and breathe.
Take time to meditate.
Don't take your life for granted. Do
take time to celebrate.
Remember how to just say no.
You can't do everything.
Spend time with friends. Make time for fun.
Relax and do your thing.
Keep taking on new challenges.
And keep on keeping on.
It's worth it. You've so much to give.
The battle can be won. Thanks to women for taking a stand. Let's cheer for those who give all they can. Hats off to them, helping to change our world. Thanks to women for all that they do. Let's cheer for all the time stands true. Hats off to them.
The epilogue.
I think that any type of activism is useful and important, whether you're a physical presence on a march or a demonstration, or whether you are on your laptop or your phone.
And it made me realise that the online fight is just as significant, if not probably more significant, than the in real life fight, because a lot of racist discourse and a lot of ideologies about racism are spread quite quickly over social media.
Adult education, as I saw and as I was involved in, was incredibly precious and should always be seen as precious. People should always have a second, third, fourth go at it.
So it's important that we arm people with the kinds of words, the resources, the knowledge, even the means to fight that narrative on social media, because that narrative goes into people's brains and it affects how they behave in the real world.
If I feel like something exists for me as a problem, then there's a good chance it exists for other people, and then there's a really good chance that if we all like talk about it and acknowledge it and work on it together, then it's just got loads more traction to be challenged.
You don't do it on your own. You've got to be part of a community. You've got to be prepared to work hard and build, you know, make people who think that they can't do something realise that they can.
Despite the barriers they faced, the challenges and pain,
between them, they have helped to make the world a better place.
A massive impact they have had on people's daily lives.
They're stars in their communities, and long may their stars rise.
But if you're not sure what to do to activate your wings,
we have some starting points for you.
The following 10 things.
1.
Join the group and share your views.
2.
Register to vote.
3.
Join a union.
4.
Support the activists you know.
5.
Take continuous action to dismantle racism.
6.
Give a nice warm welcome to newcomers to our town.
7.
Help your neighbours. Volunteer.
8.
Find the issues out that impact your community and help to sort them out.
9.
Speak out, speak up, speak loud, speak when injustice you should see.
And 10.
Remember that we have to dream how it could be.
Ba 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 la ba. 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 Bye.
stories to tell. 18 women, like so many others. 18 women from a rich well. 18 women taking their place in the world, united in the sisterhood. Ah, united, change the world for good.
And now we'll bid you a fond farewell.
We're thrilled you've lent your ear.
We hope you've found some food for thought and inspiration here.
Keep singing, dancing, raise your voice.
Together we'll persist.
The women found in Liverpool have courage to resist.
If you like more, may we suggest you follow through the links.
Full interview recordings will astound and make you think.
The time is now, the fight is on.
The urgency is cruel.
Ring up.
Log on.
Find out.
Start now.
Remaking Liverpool. Thanks to women for taking a stand. Let's cheer for those who give all they can. Hats off to them, helping to change our world. Thanks to women for all that they do. Let's cheer for all the time that's true. Hats off to them, fighting to change our world.
Shining.
We will join you in our own way.
We stand with you, taking our place in the world, united in the sisterhood. Ah, united, change the world for good.
Thanks to women for taking a stand. Let's cheer for those who give all they can.
Hats off to them, happy to change our world.
Let's cheer for all of the talents and the true.
Hats off to them, fighting to change our world.
Echo!
I'll probably go on campaigning for the rest of my days.